President Obama awarded Rudolfo Arnaia the National Humanities Medal. In weather today in Washington, D.C., it is 83 and partly cloudy. In New York, 75 degrees with light rain. From WPFW in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin.
All right. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. The previous program was The Gary Knoll Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. It is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for Leonard Lopez at Large coming up.
Welcome to Leonard Lopate at Large. I'm Leonard Lopate. As our regular listeners know, there are a few building issues that our favorite masters of home repair, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell of Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, don't know how to fix. Over the years, they have inspired millions of hesitant do-it-yourselfers to take repairs into their own hands. Alvin served as the household hints and safety editor with Family Circle magazine for over two decades, and he was a regular on ABC TV's Good Morning America for 5 years, also on ABC's talk radio network for 5 years. And we've been doing shows together for 43 years now. Lawrence is the president and chief inspector of Accurate Building Inspectors, and he's been a regular on these shows for the past three decades. As the New York metropolitan area starts to ease back into reopening, we've asked Alvin and Larry to suggest some of the ways that we can make the transition as safe as possible and what businesses can do to protect the safety of their employees and customers. Alvin and Larry Ubell join us now to offer their especially valuable expert advice during these uncertain times of pandemic. And we invite you to join the discussion. The number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Alvin and Larry, welcome back to our show.
Pleasure to be here.
And the governor, Governor Cuomo, has just announced that the city is delaying indoor dining until it is deemed safe because of troubling times of lack of social distancing and mask wearing, along with worries about travelers from hotspot states bringing the coronavirus to the city. We really don't have to worry about doing much right now, or should we already be in the process of doing things?
Well, what we figured out is that there's a lot of people that can't get out of the house or something like that, and they're locked up in their own home or staying away from everybody else. But there are things you can do around the house and maybe fix up things that you want to fix up or make it better or cleaner or work out something. And we can give you a list of things that I think people could do around the house so they don't get bored out of their skull.
Now, Larry, the governor said that air conditioning may be spreading the virus. He urged companies to install high efficiency filters that can block small particles. HEPA filters. But yes, there are no HEPA filters for the home, are there?
Well, you can buy a higher efficiency. A higher efficiency filter, which will take out more of the particulates. The problem is that some air conditioning units cannot manage that reduction in airflow, and therefore could put undue stress on the air handler or the fan, and can cause the fan to burn out. So that is a problem. It's not just like take out, you know, one filter and slip in another and everything is good, because the systems are not designed that way. So that has to be managed by someone who's an expert on the equipment. But more so, from everything that we've heard to this point, and obviously it's an evolving science, and that's what science is in general. What you knew yesterday may be completely different than what you know today. But what we know about the evolving characteristics of the coronavirus is that, generally speaking, once it hits the ground, which that is the whole issue about the 6 feet to 8 foot distancing, that once the moisture particles hit the ground, it becomes less of an issue. So how long these particles float in the air is really the thing that needs to be determined by the science community, and whether the air conditioning will make a difference anyway.
And we were told to wipe everything down at the beginning, and now we're told that surfaces are not really an issue. It's mostly talking first and coughing second.
Exactly, or singing, yelling, screaming, anything that, you know, I mean, this is a reason why...
You're ruining my life. Really stop,
well, this is really a reason why couples need to stop fighting. but that point notwithstanding, I think that we have to stick with and this is probably going to be maybe one of the last times you'll ever hear me say this, but Mitch McConnell's right. Put on a mask. It's not that complicated. You know, that is, I think, what we need to do, and it has to happen. But I think that as far as changing the filters or cleaning the filters in your air conditioning system, I think that is something that we should consider. And also, I think considering using disposable filters in air conditioning units, you can. That way, you pull the filter out and you throw it away. You don't try washing it, and that might be another alternative to getting rid
of. Taking out a filter that is clogged with particulate matter from the environment, those filters have to be taken out carefully and immediately put into a plastic bag and sealed up tight until you can dispose of it. But because sometimes that particulate gets spread around when you remove the filter. So that's a thing that you have to be careful of.
And Alvin, you sent me some notices about concerns about thermostat settings and turning it up and down. What were you warning us about there?
Well, there are a lot of people that think about thermostats. They think that they're like the throttle of a car, that if you put your foot on the pedal, the car goes faster. And they think that the thermostat does the same thing, that if you press it, it'll cool the house off faster or will heat the house faster. That is not so. It doesn't work that way. It works that the thermostat, you have to set it up set it down 1 degree at a time and then wait till it equalizes itself with the amount of temperature that you want in that particular space.
I gave out the phone number 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877 earlier. Since we're working from different places, everybody's on phone. It's hard for me to know whether anybody's called in.
Not yet.
But we have some calls. Okay, let's go to a call. No calls yet. Okay. 212-209-2877. Anything more you want to say about the current situation before we move on to some other issues?
Yeah, I do want to add one more thing. And I know this is being said all the time, and we all see the news clips of people, and it's usually younger people say, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. And I need to just address the fact that, yeah, if you get it, you get it. And that's your own life, and you can do that. But unfortunately, it's not just your own life. You drag it out to other people, anyone you meet, anyone you talk to, anyone you're around, and you're just becoming a carrier of it once you get infected. And I think it's really, self-centered, and it's just horrible for people to think about it this way. You need to keep yourself healthy so you can keep everybody else healthy.
Those people are saying, if I get it, I get it, are really saying, I don't think I'm going to get it.
Yeah, but then people who do get it walk around there like a time bomb for other people to get it. They got to look up at themselves, that if they only care about themselves and they don't care about the other people, that's just unethical. It's not a community that we could work together to get rid of this virus that is injuring all these people around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I to get back to my original point is that unfortunately it's not just about self-responsibility. It's actually taking care. We have to also be our brother's keeper in this particular situation, and we have to take and sister's keeper in this particular situation, and I think we need more of that. And I'm also going to say it's going to be a while before I go into a restaurant or on an airplane, because it's just, if I don't have to, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
So anyway, but on the plus side of life, I have to say that at my house, I've gotten all my projects done that have not been done for probably the last 3 years. And since I've had this amount of time, since we actually pretty much had a shutdown since March 15th, it really does give an opportunity for me to get all the honeydew list done, which for those who are not acquainted with that term, it's honeydew this, honeydew that. I've got many projects done, and which from redecking my deck on the outside, painting parts of the house that needed painting, fixing things, installing things. So it's been, and I have to say, the two places I found that were the most still crowded places or actually had people where they actually had to create social distancing was one was the grocery store and the other one was the home center. And that was the case here, where the home center was very crowded because people were doing a lot of home projects and gardening.
In fact, I have a friend who has a gardening center, and he says business is up this year.
Yes, and more people are doing their own gardens, whether mm-hmm. they're just a window garden of herbs and some minor smaller vegetables, or they're doing a whole planting in their backyard and cordoning off areas to do gardening. You see a lot of it. You see a lot of people at the home centers, you know, with their carts full of plants and soil and everything else that you need for such plantings. So that's
now, go ahead.
No, you go.
Alvin sent me a number of other things that we can discuss. And one of them that strikes me as apropos of the moment is the matter of windows being difficult to open because during the cold months, we just keep those windows closed. But now suddenly sometimes we don't want to use air conditioning. We just want to open up the window. And it isn't always the easiest thing to do. So what do you recommend?
Well, as far as most windows are concerned, what I have found over the years that people don't lubricate the window frames. I mean, there are chemicals that are spray lubricants, but I find with most windows it works very well with a cake of soap, and you rub it into the tracks of the window or anything that is rubbing against something else, and you put a little soap on it. And then you run the window up and down or side by side, and that lubricates the track for a considerable length of time. It happens to be a kind of lubricant that doesn't dry out as quickly as regular types of lubricants.
And it doesn't matter what soap you use?
Any kind of soap that you
bar
bathe
soap.
With. Bar soap is the best. Liquid soap is not a good thing to use because that sometimes cakes up. But bar soap is the best. Whatever it is, the cheapest soap that you can purchase or the end piece of soap that is so small that you can't bathe with it. And that's what I would tell people to use.
But if the window is stuck, and that's really what most people deal with, you know, getting it to go up and down, once it's going up and down, like my father said, using soap, or even if you have a candle where it's down to the nub at the end and you don't want to use it anymore, you can use that also to rub into the tracks. But getting the window open, is probably sometimes problematic. The first thing you have to do is you would take a utility knife with a razor blade and cut the paint that's between the window sash. The sash is the part that goes up and down, and the window frame, that's the part that stays in place, and cut the paint all the way around the sides and the bottom. Once you got the paint cut, then you might want to tap the window, and I don't mean bang, I mean tap, with either a rubber mallet or the, you know, the back end of a screwdriver, and just tap it all the way around until you get all that paint broken. And then you try to work the window up and down, and then that will probably result in an effective opening and closing of the window. Alvin?
Yeah, also just a plain block of wood sometimes is a good hammer to use because it doesn't do any damage to anything else like that. That's similar to having a rubber or hardwood mallet to strike something so that you crack the paint or you crack something that is binding that window.
Also, a fist works also pretty good. that works, you know, just tapping it with the side of your hand, you know, in a fist will also be effective. But that's really the thing about getting the windows up and down. Once you get up and down, then you have to deal. Hopefully there's a screen in there. If you don't have a screen, you might want to go out and purchase one of those screens that, you know, open up and fit into the bottom of the window and close the window on top of the screen. Just remembering that when a window is in the open position, there is an air gap between the upper and lower sash where bugs and air can come in through that upper and lower sash. That's more of an important situation if you're putting an air conditioner in. But even if you're trying to keep bugs out, which, you know, we are going to be hitting into the prime mosquito season soon. So if you're in an area like I am in Staten Island, where the burrow bird is the mosquito, you do want to do something to prevent that from happening.
My guests on Leonard Lopate at Large on WBAI New York 99.5 FM are two regulars, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell of Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn. And when they come here, we take calls from listeners. It does not have to be about the topics we've been discussing. If you have any home repair questions that you would like answered, we invite you to call us at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And so far, my memory holds out over the many years that I've been talking to the Ubells. They've never not had an answer to a listener question. So I guess if there's some home repair problem you have, whether it's about stairs, whether it's about sinks, whether it's about windows or electric plugs or door hinges or clogged drains, you can give us that call. Again, the number 212-209-2877. And go ahead.
Whatever it is, if it don't work, call us.
So, Alvin, what are some of the things that often we talk about stairs and things like that during these segments, but what are some of the important issues you've been thinking about recently?
Well, the things that I find that people talk to me about is really fixing the small things around the house, where electric plugs fall out of the walls or you have a sink that has like an aerator or a strainer on it and it squirts water all over the place and it's not being taken care of. Those are simple kinds of devices that people can really fix themselves. Some people don't have a pliers in their house that they can unscrew those aerators or something like that. But I find a nutcracker which has a use of what they call the fulcrum strength of opening something up, or even using a nutcracker to open up a screw top button on something that is frozen shut. So those people have tools around the house that are appliances for cooking and cleaning, which can be used to fix things around the house. And they just got to recognize what they have and what they don't have.
But if you were recommending that somebody who's thinking of going to one of the stores, where Lowe's or Home Depot or one of those, the local hardware store, what are the basic tools that you think everybody should have in the house? A hammer, a screwdriver, a set of pliers?
You should have a hammer that it's not, don't buy one of these heavy 16-ounce hammers. If you can find something that's smaller than that so that you can tap in, say, a small nail or fix or even use it to crack nuts on it. A hammer is great for cracking walnuts. Also, a small pliers would be great. The kind of pliers that I like very much is the locking kind of pliers that locks in place so that it almost gives you a third hand to work with if you need something like that. And those are great kinds of tools. Also, what you should have is a tape measure or ruler, because sometimes you have to measure something so is that when you go to the hardware store or home center, you have to tell them how much you need of something. And feet and inches seems to work very well. And a lot of people don't have rulers around the house that can do that kind of measuring device.
But a tape measure so can be folded up so small, it doesn't take up any real space.
Right. A tape measure is very, and sometimes you can find them in places that they use for advertising, and that's perfectly all right. You're not measuring to be really accurate. You're just measuring to get a certain amount of material or space, or how big is the window, or how big is the pipe, what's the diameter of the pipe. Well, what you need sometimes requires a measurement, and small measuring devices do very well for that.
But I'm going to add that of the list of tools that would be a basic, aside from a flathead screwdriver, a Phillips head screwdriver, both number
well,
two.
Well, it's called. Well, there are today there are many types of screw devices that lock in with a screwdriver. They have all kinds of square heads, and they have what they call a flathead screw. They have a Rexic type of screw. They have all kinds. So if you're going to buy a screwdriver, it's best to go into the store and buy a set of screwdrivers. You don't need large
okay.
ones. You need-
I'm going to now interrupt and say you're wrong. Okay? I think that you are wrong. Because that is not what people want. That's not people going to be using. They buy a whole set of stuff. They're not going to know what to use. They're going to have all these things that they have no use for in the set. And in the sets, they always sell you the stuff that doesn't sell. So you don't need – and it doesn't sell because no one
but
needs
you
it.
Do. But okay. You do need a flathead and a Phillips screwdriver.
And a Phillips
because
number two. Number two. You also need not only what my father was referring to, which is a vice grip, which is a locking part. He doesn't like to say the name brand, but everyone calls them a vice grip. It's the same way people call a circular saw a skill saw. There are many brands, but Skill was like the first company to come out, and that's what they call them. So let's skip over that. But the other thing is you do need what they call a channel lock or an angled pliers, which is a plier that reaches at an angle. And then there's a straight standard pliers. You need one of those too. I'm also going to say that once you skip past that point, an electric drill is a must. A battery-operated electric drill, and you buy a set of drill bits with it. That's also an important tool to have. Now, to go off on, there's a new thing they have, which are these locking clamps, which is a one-handle locking clamp. It is more like having a third or fourth hand, because if you need to screw something to two pieces of wood together, and you don't have a vise, you can use these clamps, and Irwin makes them, and DeWalt makes them. You see them. They're very pretty, very colorful, and they usually have an opening of anywhere between 16 and 18 inches, and they make them from all sizes, from very large to tiny, and they're very effective when trying to assemble something that you need to hold together while, and if you're only working alone, which I tend to do quite a bit when I do my home projects. So it's nice to have another set of hands, and that works very effectively. So I think that is your basic tool set.
Okay.
I'm
going to
throw more in, which is an electric screwdriver, which is really – it's like the Black & Decker one is about a $20 tool, and it doesn't spin very fast, but it's great for putting in and taking out screws, and it stops you from stripping the screw heads, because when you use an electric drill to put them in, you sometimes strip off the heads.
Now, gentlemen, we got a lot of calls coming in. Should we take some?
Oh, great.
Yes.
Okay. BAI, you're on the air. Speak to the U-Bells.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm 74, and I love the radio, and I have radios in every room. But every single radio I buy, after a time, to turn it on and to turn the volume up, you have to, like, bang it. It somehow doesn't something happens to it where you've got to bang it to make the sound come out, and it happens every single radio I have.
Is that because you listen to WBAI all the time?
That's right.
So you want to bang the radio. I got it. Okay.
I want to bang the radio so I can hear the voices. Also, I was have a radio in every room because as I walk through the house, I can't hear the one in the bedroom. It's an apartment, rather.
So what's happening, I think, what's happening is the banging or having to is that where and I'm assuming that, you know, there's a volume switch and the volume knob stops working or the on-off switch.
Yeah, there's a definite volume switch, but it's, you know, there's a turning kind and then there's the kind on a stereo system that goes up and down. The same thing happened with that.
Yeah, what's happening is dirt is that's basically a rheostat or a variable resistor in there, and dirt is getting in there and causing it to stop functioning. And it makes it, you know, staticky, or it makes it not even operate. And one of the things you can get is a stereo tuner cleaner. And if you spray the stereo tuner cleaner into where the knob is, it will clean out the dirt and it will start working again.
Okay.
Well, you know, Radio Shack doesn't exist anymore, and I also can't find any more radio repair stores. Do you know of any?
Well, I'm going to.
Would that be at a normal hardware store?
Well, no. like she said, they're hard to find, and that's one of the issues. But give me a second. Stereo cleaner. Luckily,
yes,
at home, I actually have a computer.
What happens?
Okay. Well, Alvin, let me talk. I'm going to say a horrible word. Amazon. On Amazon, But there are some mail order. So you look on a computer and you Google stereo cleaner and you can find what we're looking for here, or just call up the local hardware store and see if they have it. That will be effective in cleaning out and fixing your radio.
And thank you so much for calling us. We have a lot of calls, and we're going to try to jam a bunch in. Let's go to another call. BAI, you're on the air.
Hi, am I on the air?
You are.
Yes.
I'm so pleased that you got through.
I'm calling from Long Beach, New York. I have a central air conditioning unit. I've been in the house for 6 years, and I have not had the ducts cleaned. Should I have them cleaned, and how often?
The short answer is yes, but the longer answer is, where is it? The real question is how does your filter look, and how often do you change your filter?
I do change my filter frequently. I just put in a new one. I did have the AC tune-up.
Okay. And the filter itself, is it located at the unit or is it located near the room?
It's in the ceiling in the house.
Okay, so it's actually in the room. So, yeah, there are two places they could put the filter. These are sometimes adjacent to the unit itself. It's part of the air conditioning heating system. Or it's actually surface mounted. In my case, it's surface mounted on a wall. In your case, it's surface mounted on a ceiling. Those filters tend to be a lot tighter and tend to let a lot less dirt through. And also the fact that it's available and easy to get to means that you're cleaning it more often, so you're not having dirty filters there. But being you've been there for 6 years and you were not the first owner, it was probably never cleaned. So my advice to you is a cleaning now would be a great idea. And it also... Well, you know, the problem with dust is that it promotes dust mites. And that's something you want to get rid of. And so I would say the answer is yes, you should have the ducts cleaned.
So
okay?
There
aren't okay.
any vents in the ceilings in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So they would clean those as well?
Yeah, they would take off all the air registers and put a vacuum cleaner up the ductwork and suck out all the loose dirt that's in there.
Can you do it yourself with a vacuum cleaner?
No, because
you cannot do that yourself.
Yeah, because you need a long flexible hose. Mm. And also, I mean, you're standing on a ladder and whether these vents are in the ceiling, and it could be problematic. I'm not one for encouraging people to fall off ladders, you know. Mm.
But once every 6 years is okay, it seems to me.
But now would be a good time. I mean, you know.
Now and then, every 2 years, every 3 years?
I would not even that often, especially if the filter is working, you shouldn't get that much dirt in the ductwork. I mean, the way you could tell if you actually have dirty ductwork or a non-functioning filter is at the air registers. You will see black streaks in the corners. And so those black or gray streaks coming out of the air register will indicate dirt that's in the air that's coming out. If your air registers are clean, so in other words, if you take your finger and you get up on a step stool and run your finger like you're doing a dust, you know, an inspection dust test with your finger, and you get no dirt on your finger, it means that, A, your filter is working well and it's positively installed, but also that the ducts are not regurgitating a bunch of dust into the air.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. And we have
good
to take
question.
A little break, but
question.
I want to get back to our guests in just a few moments. And if you're on the line, if you're calling, please be patient. We will try to get to everybody who is calling in. So this is Leonard Lopate at Large on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Before we get back to my conversation with Alvin and Lawrence Hugh Bell, back with Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York, I need to talk to you about something very important. I'm sure that you've heard by now that, like most public radio stations across the country, WBAI has been hit particularly hard by the pandemic. A lot of our longtime supporters have been forced to pull their financial support for the station because suddenly they find themselves without a job, which is why we're asking anyone who's able to in this time of crisis to please step up, make a contribution of any amount to help keep community radio and Leonard Lopate at Large on the air and coming to you weekdays from 1 to 2 p.m. We don't take ads on the station. We don't have any funding from foundations and the like. We really do remain totally independent by relying on our listeners to come through for us. And the way to do that is by calling right now at 516-620-3602 or by going to our website, give2wbai.org. That's give and then the number 2, wbai.org. And one great way to support the station without having to shell out a lot of money at one time is to become a BAI buddy. There are listeners who contribute $10 or more each month to keep the station running and show their support for what we do on this show. And joining me now to fill in some details is my executive producer, Jesse Lent. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Leonard. Great to be here. Yes, BAI buddies are really the lifeblood of WBAI, of our whole funding model. The small amount, the $10, the $20 that we collect each month from every BAI buddy is what allows us to look down the road and know these are how many shows we can have on the network. These are the kind of events we can do. And I think most importantly, these are the shows, i.e. the ones with the most BAI buddies, that are resonating with listeners. And, you know, Leonard and I do our best to bring you shows that you'll connect with every weekday, 1 to 2 p.m. But we can only do that with your help. The number to call is 516-620-3602, or you can go to the web at givetowbai.org. That's give, then the number 2wbai.org. And Leonard, I feel like a show like today really is a clear indication of one aspect of what we do. Now, like I said a moment ago, we're always looking to bring you new and interesting stuff that you'll connect to for an hour in these 1 hour, one subject deep dive interviews. But one of the aspects of the show that Leonard and I particularly relish is our collection, our assorted regular contributors. Today's show, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, obviously regulars, but these are also people like Bob Henley, Ross and Catherine Petras, our language experts. Bob Henley,
Manona,
of course,
Russell.
Manona Russell, the industrial hygienist, taking her calls on pollution. Bob Henley, of course, the revered city and union reporter at Slate and the New Jersey Ledger. I'm sorry, the Chief Ledger and a bunch of other publications. You know, we think that in addition to bringing you new shows, we also believe that you get something with these guests, because we know that they'll be different and interesting every time, just like the Ubells are. And I know, Leonard, you have a good time on these show days, don't you?
I do, and I love having the audience participate. So that's part of the fun. And in a few moments, we're going to go back to take some more calls for the Ubells. People, if you're new to the show, you must have realized by now they know everything you need to know about the problems you're going to face at home. And I am so pleased that I've known them for so long and had such a wonderful relationship with them. They're terrific people as well. The kind of people you want to have as a guest on a show like this. So please show your support for this station and for this show by giving us a call at 516-620-3602. And whether you do it to become a BAI buddy at $10, $15, $20, whatever amount is you're comfortable with a month, or whether you just want to call in with a lump sum, and that could be any amount at all. Nothing is too small, and definitely nothing is too large. Please give us that call at 516-620-3602, or go to our website, givetowbai.org, and do it in the name of Leonard Lopate at large, because to be honest, the station management looks at who is getting the support of its listeners. Anything you want to add to that, Jess?
Well, the main thing I want to close with is that I've been off the air for a while. Excuse me if I went a little long there, but I just wanted to say that the windows in my apartment are very difficult to open. And as soon as the show wraps today, I am going to grab a bar of soap and attempt the Ubell fix solution for that, which I absolutely would believe is right. I mean, one quick note to listeners, if you are holding on the line, we're going to get back to the interview right away. And so please hang on. If you haven't called, the Ubells are also really up with all of the new COVID regulations and have some solutions of their own. So I'm just throwing that out there. Yes, as Leonard said, BAI buddies are a great way to support the show, but any way you can support Leonard Lopate at large and WBAI and keep community renegade radio coming through the New York airwaves. Once we're gone, there is no other BAI. There is no station in New York, and I would even argue on the planet, quite like this one. So please make that call right now at 516-620-3602 or at givetowbai.org on the web. Thank you from all of us to anyone who's supported the show throughout this drive or is doing so right now. And we're going to get back to the Ubells.
And let's take some calls for Alvin and Lawrence Ubell. If you have questions on anything that we haven't mentioned, for example, you have a drippy faucet or a faucet that squirts, you have loose wooden door hinges, you have a clogged drain or a toilet, give us that call. On the on-air number is 212-202-877. And let's go to another call. BAI, you're on the air. Hello, are you there? Okay.
Yes.
You there?
Yes.
There's a little bit of a delay, so sometimes people get confused.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Yes, how can we help you?
I'd like to know the cause for a toilet leaking from below. And what should be done?
When you mean below, do you mean from the bottom of the toilet or from the toilet tank?
From the bottom. In other words, when it's flushed, it leaks from below.
On the floor, correct?
On the floor.
Alvin?
Yes, that means that underneath the toilet bowl, there's the thing called a wax ring. And sometimes...
Excuse me, a what ring?
A wax ring.
Yeah.
Which you
WAX, Alvin?
Yeah, that you can buy in almost every hardware store. But in order to install that, you have to almost remove the whole toilet bowl and all of its mechanisms, and clean out the holding device or the fastening device, and then put the wax ring on and put the toilet bowl back on again. This can be, if you go to our website, accuratebuilding.com, and look up the recipes for home repair, which is a book, it has that diagram and the procedure to put in a new wax ring when that condition leaks.
What the wax ring does, ma'am, is that it creates a seal between the waste pipe and the toilet. And so the wax ring is made of this it was originally made of beeswax. Now it's made of some other materials. But what that wax ring does is it's a soft compound, and it can expand and contract depending on the weather, depending on the rise and fall of the pipes themselves. So you don't have a hard connection between the cast iron pipe in the building and the toilet, because if there was that hard connection, the toilet bowl could crack if there was any movement. So they create this wax ring, but over time that wax ring deteriorates and sometimes causes a leak. And so this is, I'm going to say, if you live in a rental, this is definitely a super thing. If you live in a co-op or in your own home, then this is most likely an issue that needs to be addressed by a plumber. Because you have to lift up the toilet, it needs at least two or three people to do the job, and it could be challenging to get that wax ring in the exact right place. And you also have to clean up the whole area. It also could be the flange has cracked. That's the fitting that goes between the cast iron pipe and what the toilet attaches to. That's what the two bolts on either side of the toilet near the floor attach to that flange. And so you need to deal with all these issues. This is definitely a plumber or a superintendent type of job.
Sorry it's so serious.
Thank you. I had just one more short.
Sure.
Thank you very much for that. One more short question. Where can I find a tile store in Brooklyn to get skirted tile? These hardware stores don't carry it. You know, the tile that goes at the very bottom in the bathroom, on the floor, sort of overlaps the floor.
Yeah, the cove tile at the bottom. You have to call a bunch of different tile stores, specific tile stores, and ask them if they have what you're looking for. Because I had the same issue. I had a bathroom with old style tile from the 1930s, and a couple of them were broken. And to find them, I went to a bunch of stores before they even could order them, because not many people, there are all these different manufacturers, and some people, and even what you do get is kind of not exactly what you have.
And what, but nowadays, you don't have to go to the stores. You can, if you find one online, can't you just send them a photograph of the ones that you want replaced?
You could probably do that, and or you can get someone or go online and get someone on the phone and talk to them.
Yeah. If you're going to send something to a manufacturer or to a supplier through the internet, you have to use a ruler alongside the piece that you want so they know what size that you need for that particular project. Okay. Thank you so much for your call.
Yes. Wait. What were you saying, ma'am?
She's gone.
Repeat.
Oh, she's gone now. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
Let's take another call. Hi, BAI. You're on the air.
BB?
It's you.
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello. You're on.
Okay. I wanted to say my girlfriend freed up her window, and it was so loose it fell down and trapped her for 10 minutes. Both her hands were under the window, so people have to be really careful.
Did this just happen because of what we said? No.
She did this last year. I wasn't around.
I was feeling guilty.
For like 10 minutes.
You bring up an interesting point, because that has to do with either the sash weight or the sash springs, depending on the age of the window. And if the sash springs the sash weights or the sash cords and chains are broken, then the window will not stay up. And so you have to see if the sash cords are intact. If they're held up by springs, the springs could also be broken, which is maybe one of the reasons they painted it shut in the first place. So, yes, the man brings up a very good point.
Every year or so, we have to throw away the air conditioners because they're moldy inside. Is there an air conditioner that doesn't have that problem? Or they say, you can't clean it out.
The reason it's getting moldy is your air conditioner is not installed properly. It needs to be pitched backwards outside so the water drains out. What's happening is your air conditioner is either pitched towards the window or level, and the water can't get out. And that water is very gross. It has a lot of bacteria in it. It's dirty. It has air dust. It has everything you need to grow some really quality mold. And so,
yeah, but what you should do on where the drip pan happens to be, every so often you should spray it with a little bleach spray just to disinfect it, and sometimes that loosens up the dirt and permits it to drain out.
Yeah, well, the air goes, you can see it's black.
Yes, and because again, the bigger problem is that it's not draining. So the air conditioning unit has to have a 1 or 2 degree down angle toward the back, toward the outside section. Without that, even what my father recommends is to spray it every now and then, you're still going to have standing water there. And as long as you still have standing water, it doesn't really matter how much bleach you throw at it. It's going to come back.
Okay. And there's really no way to clean it, right?
Well, I would disagree with that, too. I think you can clean it out. Just have to use a little bit of a bleach and soap solution and clean off all the affected areas. And that should, and if you can put it either in a bathtub or bring it outside with a hose and run some water through it, you could probably get it pretty clean. I don't think that the mold is inhibiting the functionality of it, but you do have to.
But then reinstall it correctly.
Right. But I'm going to say, if you are going to put it into a bathtub and clean it, put a towel at the bottom of the tub so you don't scratch up the whole tub.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay?
Thank you.
No problem.
Have a great...
Reggie, do we have more calls?
Yes.
Okay, let's take another call for the U-Bells.
Oh.
Hi, you're on the air. BAI.
Yes, I live in a house, and I have a leak in my basement wall. It's kind of damp, and the paint is cracking, and the leak is about 5 feet down from below ground. What should I do to repair it?
Well, that's very difficult to repair, because the foundation, if it's masonry, is really has a high degree of porosity that actually sucks in the water or drainage water from the outside. That requires a tradesperson to dig up the outside of the foundation where it's leaking from and coat it with some waterproofing material like tar or something like that. And that's an expensive project that has to be undertaken by a professional.
Oh, well. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunate.
Are there any alternatives to that?
Say that again?
Are there any alternatives to hiring an expensive worker?
Well, it's always
going to leak.
Ones. If you try to capture it and let it drain and then drain it out or something like that, it's just a thing that you will be married to do it continuously on a regular basis. The only thing is when water seeps through a foundation, it has to be taken care of professionally because it takes a lot of work to correct.
Can I just ask a quick question? This leak, is this leak generally in the same location every time?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, but I've only noticed
is the leak in the same location every time on the interior?
Yes, he says.
Yes.
Okay. There is what you could do is in that location of the leak, as opposed to fixing it, is managing the water once it gets inside. And if you could at that location, put in a sump pit and have the water go into the sump pit. Sometimes it might just drain into the ground below, but if it fills up the pit, then you put a sump pump in there and pump the water out.
Thank you for your call. We have very little time left, but I wanted to sneak another call in. Can you make it as quick as possible, caller? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Well, yes, that was pretty quick.
I have a gas jet stove with two jets are not working, I believe, from a food spilling on the pilot light. Can I, and should I, and how, if I should, fix that problem?
And we have about a minute and a half.
Yeah, okay. And quickly, if you can take all, you know, this is something where you've got to figure that I'm going to try to fix it, but if it goes horribly sideways, I'm going to have to call a professional at some point. But the idea is that you could pull a lot of these pieces out and then clean them in the sink with soap and water, hot soap and water, or even OxyClean to get all the food debris out of it and then reassemble it. This is something that a brave home repair person would do. I've done it a few times with my old stove before I changed to my new one, but a couple of times because it kept getting clogged up with debris, just like this gentleman is saying. And you just have to say, I'm going in. I'm going to start taking all these things apart. Take a lot of pictures as you take it apart so you know how it goes back together. And then clean it all out and put it back together. Clean out the pilot. Use a toothpick to clean out some of these holes or a wooden skewer to clean out these holes. Let it soak in hot water for a while with some even ammonia or something just to break it up. And then put it back together, and you might.
And we have to leave it there, Larry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We pretty much run out of time. Advice. How do people get in touch with you when you're not on our show? We're going to have you back next month, of course. But how can people get in touch with you?
They can go to our website at www.accuratebuilding.com, or they can email my dad at alvin@accuratebuilding.com.
And you'll answer the kinds of questions that you answer on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you can't answer it, if he can't answer it, he'll send it off to me for me to answer it.
Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Collectively, we can come together.
Yes.
Alvin and Lawrence Ubell of Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. It's always a pleasure. And that brings us to the end of today's show. If you are new to our program and you like what you've been hearing, you can access past shows streaming on demand at WBAI.org. We're also available as an iTunes podcast, and don't forget to check out Leonard Lopate at Large on Facebook and Twitter, and our website, leonardlopateatlarge.com, where you can find links to all of our past shows. Also, if you want to reach me directly, my email address is leonardlopate@wbai.org. Before I sign off, today I want to take a moment to ask for your support for this station, because WBAI doesn't take ads and even grants, so we want to remain totally free of any outside pressures, but that means that we rely totally on the support of our listeners. And if you care about Leonard Lopate at Large and all of the great programs here on WBAI, we need your help to keep this station alive. please step up right now and make a contribution at whatever level you're comfortable giving at. If you care about community radio and keeping alternative and minority voices on your local radio dial, please go to our website, give2wbai.org, or call 516-620-3602 to make that contribution in the name of Leonard Lopate at Large. And from all of us at this station, we thank you so much. If you are becoming a member, or if you've already become a member, we hope you will be able to join us tomorrow when I will be talking with the director and two of the subjects of a new Netflix documentary called Disclosure, Trans Lives on Screen. We'll see you then.
And WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. The United States announced more than 48,000 new coronavirus infections yesterday, another daily record, and an increase of 80% in the last 2 weeks. More than 2.6 million people have now tested positive for COVID-19 in the U.S., and more than 127,000 have died. Yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci warned that the number of daily new cases in the U.S. could soon reach 100,000 a day if the country does not act quickly. During testimony to senators, Fauci blamed the surge on some states reopening too quickly and by people failing to follow guidelines to stop the spread of the virus. Global cases of coronavirus now exceed 10.5 million, and more than 500,000 people have died around the world. The European Union will open its doors to visitors from 15 countries as of today, but not to travelers from the United States, Brazil, or Russia, where coronavirus is spreading most rapidly. President Trump today again called reports of Russian bounties on American soldiers in Afghanistan a hoax and fake news aimed at hurting Republicans. Trump said that he had not been informed of the program because U.S. intelligence, quote, did not find this info credible. According to the New York Times, however, intelligence on the Russian bounty program was described in the president's written daily brief in late February. The Times also reported that investigators are evaluating whether an April 2019 bombing that killed three U.S. Marines was part of the alleged operation. Trump is threatening to veto this year's entire defense spending bill over a proposed amendment that would rename military bases named after Confederate leaders, despite bipartisan support in Congress. Trump is taking aim at an amendment to the must-pass National Defense Authorization Act proposed by Senator Elizabeth Warren, which would require the Pentagon to change the names of 10 Army bases named for Confederate generals. In tweeting his objection to the amendment, Trump revived his favorite racist nickname to describe Senator Warren. The Supreme Court handed down a ruling that could open the door for more public funding for religious education. The case concerned a group of parents in Montana who wanted to use a state scholarship program to send their children to religious schools. The court sided in favor of the parents, 5-4. In his ruling, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that if a state chooses to fund private education, like the Montana tax credit program in question did, it could not exclude religious schools. A New York judge has ordered a preliminary injunction against the publication of a tell-all book by Trump's niece. In a statement, a lawyer for Mary Trump called the injunction a First Amendment violation and prior restraint on core political speech. The book titled Too Much and Never Enough, How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man, reportedly describes, quote, a nightmare of traumas, destructive relationships, and a tragic combination of neglect and abuse in the Trump family. The president of the Oglala Sioux tribe has ordered Trump to cancel a planned visit to Mount Rushmore on July 3rd for his Independence Day celebration. Julian Bear Runner told The Guardian, quote, the lands on which that mountain is carved and the lands he's about to visit belong to the great Sioux Nation under a treaty signed in 1851 and the Fort Laramie Treaty of 1868, and I have to tell him he does not have permission from its original sovereign owners to enter the territory at this time. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Currently in Washington, it's cloudy and 85. In New York, it's cloudy and 72. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and WBAI New York.